Hi, I'm Donovan. Welcome to Build 2018. I am here with Lori, Mario, and Thomas, and we're going to be talking about DevOps all up and what we have here at Microsoft that we can do to help you with any language and any platform. Lori, tell us what you do here at Microsoft.
Sure. My name's Lori Lampkin. I am the Director of Program Management for Visual Studio Team Services, or VSTS for short, and TFS.
Mario?
My name is Mario Rodriguez, and I'm a Group Program Manager, and I oversee package management for VSTS, as also as for teams that actually do platform components to allow all of the other teams that we have to build on top of that. And I also own the extensibility platform on the marketplace.
Great. Thomas?
Hey, I'm Thomas. I'm the co-founder of Hockey App, and I joined Microsoft for the Hockey App acquisition. And now I'm the Director of PM for App Center, Hockey App, and Azure Notification Hubs.
Great. So I will not ask you why it's called Hockey App. You've been asked that
like
100
times. You've done that before.
Exactly. So that answer has already been recorded, but we'll tease that up. So Lori, with VSTS, just go ahead and give us the elevator pitch on why VSTS and why someone would use it.
Well, I think what VSTS is about is trying to help developers collaborate to achieve more. And through modern development practices and what's hot today, it's all about DevOps. So we're here to make that fun, easy, productive experience for you.
And we want to do that for any language and any platform,
That's
which I
right.
think is really, really key. Whenever I go and do a presentation and they see the Microsoft on my shirt or they hear Visual Studio in the name, they immediately shut off if they're not a .NET developer or a Windows developer. And I basically have to shake them up and say, no, I'm talking to everyone in this room because our tools simply do not care.
That's right. I mean, we have our hosted pool runs builds for Linux, for the Mac, and for Windows. And you can't say that about any other CI/CD service out there. So
exactly.
We take that to heart.
And the fact that they also run on-prem, which gives you complete flexibility on what tools you install and what applications you want to build. Because it doesn't even have to be a language that we know anything about. As long as you can install that compiler on a machine, that language is now supported by VSTS.
That's right. You have complete control. And everybody wants DevOps for their whole portfolio of applications, not for just a single type. So we find that very important to help provide that level of transparency and that level of productivity to any type of app you're building, any cloud, on-prem.
And the one other misconception I'd like you to address for me is the fact that people believe that VSTS is an all or nothing
That's a
endeavor.
Great question. We talk about VSTS a lot, but in reality, what people do is they decide they have a problem and they want to solve it with a tool. And it might be, hey, I want to adopt Agile, or right now what's really hot is I really want to automate my build and release process. And we have tools for all of that, but they work with anything out there. You can use our VSTS work item tracking with Jenkins. You can use our CI/CD system with Jenkins. You can use our CI/CD system with Jira. You know, it's all mix and match, and we give you just an easy button in case you don't want to think about it or you're tired of integrating a bunch of different tools. I can just take the whole thing, or I can use the bits and pieces that make sense for me with my favorite tools or my homegrown tools that I have myself.
Right, and whenever I have this conversation with customers, the way that I address it is, everyone's on that different maturity level on their DevOps pipeline.
Yeah.
And no matter how mature you are, there's always that one portion of the pipeline that gives you anxiety. If something's going to go wrong, this is where it's going to happen, right? And I always tell them, tell me where that is in your pipeline. You show me the part that hurts the most, and then I'm just going to stick VSTS only in that area for now. What's interesting is because it's so extensible, I can actually plug whatever tools I want on the right and the left of whatever I've just given you. And when I get it in the door, if I get that crack into that door there, then everyone's like, oh, wow, what else can it do for me? And they start to see the value again in having a holistic tool, that one, like you said, the easy button. Because you get traceability like nothing else if you use all of it.
That's right.
Right.
And you get the productivity, too, and the lack of context switching and all of that that comes with it. But and it's all kind of, we use them ourselves internally, and so we have fallen in the pitfalls and learned our lessons in our own DevOps journey, and we've baked in those workflows as recommended practices inside our tools. And so hopefully you can customize to your heart's extent, you can also know that I'm on a good path, and if I follow that, at least it's tried and tested.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Mario, you were interested because you're talking about package management, and I have two open source projects that end up being either an NPM package or a PowerShell module. And I actually use package management as that intermediate area where I want to publish my actual package. I learned the hard way that if you were to do a link command on NPM, because you can actually test your package on your own drive, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work that way when you actually install it from a package management system. And what was really powerful about package management was the way that I was able to use it as, I'm going to publish it to an actual package management, but not out to NPM yet. And as part of my release pipeline, I install it as a user would. And I was able to find a lot of weird anomalies that I otherwise would not have caught. So tell me other ways that I can use package management.
Yeah, so today we support NPM, NuGet, Maven, and we continue to look at ways of expanding that portfolio. But what we really want to do is kind of twofold, right? Is there's a set of packages that you actually do for your dev inner loop. Think about it that way. And a lot of the people that use us, because we're essentially a private package management solution, they use us to actually push a set of packages that they use in their dev inner loop.
Gotcha.
So it doesn't even have to be about releasing anything externally. You could even use it to make your development team more effective and efficient as well. And then you also use it, of course, for the traditional thing. A lot, you know, the NPM community uses a lot of open source. You know, NuGet has a very vibrant ecosystem as well. So clearly, as you're looking to actually reuse what has already out there, you're going to use a package management system. We just released a feature that we call upstreams. And what upstreams actually do, it allows us to actually cache the packages from NuGet.org and NPM and make them available right there in your registry. So if you want to know all of the packages that you're using in your application, you could just go to one place and manage that. If for some reason you lose connectivity with the internet, but you still have it in your local environment, connectivity to VSTS or your on-prem server, you have them right there. If NPM goes down or NuGet goes down, we have the package right there, cache, and your build system never breaks.
Got it.
Even if you think about Leftpad, when Leftpad got pushed out of NPM, well, we'll have a cache on it right there in your feed. So it doesn't matter what happens out there, your builds will always succeed. So that's another feature that we're adding on top of it that is really, really useful. And then the last thing is this whole thing about kind of automating, you know, it's funny, whenever you create a package, right, you put a version on it, but it's very hard to actually say, okay, this is the time for you to consume it, especially if you have other teams, unless you push it to NuGet.org, that's easy, but, you know, internally, if you just put it in a feed, they don't know the quality of that version yet. So we have this feature called Release Views that allow you to actually have a way, just like in a normal release, in a pipeline, you end up saying, hey, I'm going to go to stage zero, stage one, stage two. You could do that with Release Views. So you could go and say, no, I'm going to have one that is my CI/CD. So every time my CI/CD actually creates the package, it pushes it into the CI/CD release view. And then when I'm ready to actually release it to my customers, then I could actually go and promote it from that release view into another one. You could then even orchestrate that with, hey, I'm actually pushing to production, so I also want this package over here that people can use in their SDK, in an SDK, available at the same time that I push to production. So you could have a release task that does both, push to production the service, push to the release view the actual package that you're in. So a lot of cool scenarios that we enable.
Sure.
So we're just not, we're more than just, hey, we're storing the package for you. What we're trying to do is help you with the DevOps transformation and modernizing. So all the way from, hey, I have some dev tools and packages for inner loop efficiency, to I want to protect myself from what is out there a little bit,
sure.
All the way to a release process of your package.
Right.
And so we're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, because it's not like one of the first scenario you described is like a curated list. These are the approved packages,
yep,
and approved versions that we've vetted, and these are the only ones you're allowed to use, so point your package management,
yep,
resolution here. The other one that you just described sounds really interesting, the views, because internally, like you said, it's an internal package, never to be published to NPM. How do my teams know that this is the production version?
Yep.
And the views are now almost giving me this new production environment,
yep,
so that you know that once it's in this view, this is what you should be consuming. Everything else over here is developed.
Yeah. Exposure control.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. Very interesting. I'm going to have to start playing with that, actually.
Yeah, definitely. You could get up to a PowerShell, you know, script that actually does a promotion. There's also a GUI, but that doesn't get used as much.
Yeah, GUI's not as DevOpsy as I like to be, right? If it doesn't happen in my pipeline, it's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, go ahead and use it. You know, traditionally, what other people do out there is they have multiple feeds, but then you have have to have permission model.
Yeah, that becomes very complicated.
It becomes super complicated. Yes. So having one feed and just a promotion model through that, based on views, you know, we love it. Some of our customers love it.
Yeah, the NPM task has recently been updated to where using multiple feeds is a little bit easier, because as part of the task, you can actually say, this is the feed you're publishing to.
Yes.
Previously, you had to go modify the .npmrc file, which was a nightmare because so many scripts I had trying to scribble in the right keys and the right permissions. Yep. And not having to do that anymore has been fantastic.
Yeah, and again, with upstreams, you know, you could actually upstream multiple feeds into one. So it acts as an aggregator.
Nice.
So we have a lot of teams now do that. And again, just recently we launched it for NuGet, and NPM has had it for some sprints ago. But now you could just say, hey, all of my development actually goes to one feed that actually upstreams multiple, either internal or external, and it acts as an aggregator across all of the packages that you're using.
Perfect.
So we make it even easier that from what we have even in the task.
Perfect. NPM, Maven, and NuGet.
And NuGet, yep.
Okay, great. And then on the roadmap are obviously other languages. So that
Python is super, super hot in the community, right? Okay. So we could ask about that, you know, PyPy specifically.
Yep.
We're also working on some stuff that we cannot talk about today.
Sure.
That
Understood. Is super exciting
as well that, you know, hopefully later on we'll be announcing. But yeah, so, you know, think about, like, more or less we try to make sure that as communities, you know, need a kind of private registry support, that we're there to support them on that.
All right, fantastic. So, Thomas,
yes.
I saw in the keynote Samina was doing an App Center or demo mm-hmm. for us, and that's
yep.
what you own now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us some cool things about App Center and some of the future things that we can be expecting from App Center.
Oh, you want me to leave?
I do.
So App Center is all about your mobile DevOps workflow, right? Managing your mobile applications. And last year at Build, we showed how to set up Build in 5 minutes. And so this year, we kind of brought it down to 3 minutes, right?
Okay.
And Samina showed how you went from a GitHub repository without even knowing anything about Microsoft DevOps. You just click a couple of links and a couple of buttons, and you can set up DevOps for pull requests and your branches in under 3 minutes. And that's where we're going with App Center forward. We want to make it really, really simple for mobile developers to explore DevOps and get kind of out of their way, right? DevOps should become part of what you're doing and not waste a lot of time where you're spending 6-12 hours on figuring out how to set up a build server or something like that.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay, so I want to start asking you some tough questions, if
okay.
you don't mind. So you and I have had some discussions
yeah.
over this, and there's no mobile app I know that only has a front end on it,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yeah.
how is App Center going to allow me to do more than just the mobile front end, but the middle tier, the database? Because I'm a firm believer that your pipeline should deploy your solution.
Mm-hmm.
Not an app, but your solution. That's the infrastructure, the front end, the back end, the databases, the whole nine yards. So tell me about the future of App Center and how is it going to enable me to deploy my solution and not just my mobile front end?
So first of all, similar to Team Services, you don't have to use all the App Center
okay.
services to be productive, right? You can only use test and distribute or crashes and analytics. You don't have to use our build service if that doesn't fit your need.
Perfect.
So right now, the answer to your question is you use VSTS for your build pipeline, release management for your release process, and then App Center tests and App Center distribute become targets of those release steps, right?
Got it.
And we actually have built-in App Center tasks for those two things. We have an App Center distribution task in VSTS and an App Center test task that you can use either in release management or in VSTS build to integrate VSTS together with App Center.
Got it.
So, and with your Azure deploy, your database deploy, maybe your Kubernetes build,
sure.
and so on.
Perfect.
Today, the answer is the mix of VSTS and App Center.
Got it.
And then, of course, App Center supports VSTS repositories. So if you want to have, if you have a smaller project or like a, you know, you're kicking off a new prototype, you can start on VSTS with your repository, use the capabilities of App Center to just get something up and running, distribute the build to the initial phase of testers, and then, you know, your VP comes and says, Donovan, that's a great product. Let's grow it much more. Here's 100 people.
Right.
If that ever happens, you know. And then you move from App Center to VSTS, and it's really simple. It's not a lot of steps that you need to take a build from App Center into VSTS. And the best of all, last year in November, we announced the Mac pool in VSTS.
Yes.
So now VSTS actually offers your Windows build machines and Mac build machines. So it's really simple to onboard onboard your mobile app into VSTS.
Perfect. So it's a nice grow-up story from let's do a quick POC, let's get the application going, let's get some interest, maybe even some investors inside. Mm-hmm. And now that we need to deploy the entire solution, let's just grow that up into a proper CI/CD pipeline inside of VSTS, but still leverage the testing and the distribution and the crash analytics that comes from
the Mac pool.
As well. Exactly, because the Mac pool is now there as well. That was a huge announcement for me too. I could not wait to announce that one because I've been beating my chest about any language, any platform for so long. It's always been true, but you had to have the Mac. You had to configure the Mac. And I must bleed really blue because I hate using a Mac and I hate setting up a Mac for mobile development. It's a pain getting all the SDKs, everything is such a nightmare to get set up. And now having that easy button again to go back to your first statement, of just, do you go build it, right? Because I just simply don't have time, because every time I have to update my Mac, it's just a nightmare, and getting the right SDKs and the right versions and everything, and now
and you know, behind the scenes, we share the Macs, right? So it's the same Mac pool in App Center and VSTS.
Awesome.
If App Center gets an update, whatever, to Xamarin, newest Xamarin version, then VSTS gets the same benefits from App Center, and vice versa. If VSTS gets updates under the hood, then App Center can benefit from those updates.
Great. So we've talked a lot about DevOps, and a lot of it's kind of geared towards the cloud, but VSTS has a twin called TFS.
Yes.
And even though VSTS is in the cloud, it doesn't prevent you from deploying on-prem.
Right.
So talk to me about that kind of hybrid or the flexibility that we have with either two offerings or the fact that we can deploy on-prem.
Yeah, so we have one code base that we use that we all of our folks are working in. And we just take that code base and we ship it every 3 weeks into the cloud that you see is VSTS. And then we bundle up all the updates for the quarter and we ship it in the quarterly updates. And just at this conference, we announced TFS 2018 update 2. So I'm like, okay, all these numbers, let me get it right. So it has a ton of value in it that that we've seen come on in the service in the last 6 months or so, maybe five, and you just see it come in now for on-prem. So you should be able to use whatever, work on modern development tools, whether you're on-prem or in the cloud. Now, that's where you choose to have your DevOps services run, but then you're writing applications, and you may choose to have some applications in the cloud, some on-prem, and no matter whether you're using TFS or VSTS, your build should be able to deploy where you want your apps to deploy. And so it'll deploy to Azure or to other cloud platforms as well as to any on-prem server as well.
Correct. And again, going back to the any language, any platform, when I saw the AWS extension show up in our marketplace, it was like, to me, it was like a feather in our hat. It was like, that's how good our pipeline is, that even our competitors are like, we want you to be able to deploy to our cloud using that tool set, which is
that's
really
great.
Cool. And the fact that you can do it on-prem, and one of the misconceptions is VSTS is in the cloud, so therefore I can only deploy into the cloud, and that's a fallacy.
Yeah.
Because you can install your agent anywhere, even behind your firewall, even though you're using VSTS in the cloud, you can still deploy the on-prem. You don't have to install TFS to do that.
That's right, and yeah, you can even, if you want to, you can even run your own build pool on-prem with VSTS, and we'll orchestrate that for you, and you can say, okay, here I want a set of private agents myself. So there's a lot of flexibility in how you want to move to the cloud, when you want to move to the cloud, or what you want to keep on-premise.
Right, and it's very clear that it's a single code base. I recently installed 2018 TFS on a VM, and as I was working in it, I forgot that I was in TFS. I thought I was in VSTS, so they're that close in parity. Because we have some people who have data sovereignty issues. It has to be in a specific region for them to use it. And I reassure them all the time. The demo I just did was in VSTS, but you can do that exact same demo inside of TFS as well. So there's no plans of getting rid of TFS, are there?
Oh gosh, no. No, we have more than a million customers using TFS today. So, and it's growing. We look at those metrics and see that more and more people are using TFS. So very healthy business, and we plan on supporting people on-prem for as long as they need it.
Great. And I'll ask you another hard question, or a question that I get asked very often, and I want to hear it from the official answer. A lot of people see us investing in Get.
Yes.
But we offer two version control systems, and we're one of the only providers I know that offer you both centralized and distributed version control. Are we going to continue to support centralized version control in TFS and VSTS?
Yeah, we are. Again, we have lots of customers using TFVC, and so We're here for you. Most of the innovations in the community are happening in Git, and so you're seeing a lot of the collaborative workflows and a lot of new ideas coming through in Git. Our commitment is to make TFVC integrate with the rest of your DevOps lifecycle, and while we really are investing in innovations in Git. But saying that means you should be able to use TFVC through and through, all integrated with the rest of VSTS and the innovations that happen in the rest of VSTS.
Okay, great. So Mario, you also said that you're responsible for the extensibility in the marketplace. Talk to me about some of the extension points that we have in VSTS and TFS, because I know of a couple. I've written my own extension, but I was really focusing on the CI/CD portion. But there are clearly other places that we can extend VSTS and TFS. Dashboards, I believe, the widgets and the hubs. Can you talk to me about
lots
of those areas?
Before I do that, I just want to tell you, we're also working right now, you know, just to show more commitment on the TFS front, to be able to actually figure out a way to deploy TFS by being backed up by SQL Azure, for example. So like that, if you're a person that wants to run your own TFS instance in an IaaS machine, you know, in an IaaS environment, and you want to do it in Azure, then you could actually do it in with a SQL solution that is always on, backed up, multi-data center. Now that today you have to have your own
SQL server.
Exactly, which is not really what they want once they go in there. So we're pretty excited. You know, hopefully over the next 6 months or so, we could figure out a way to get that into the hand of our customers.
That's really going to lower the maintenance, right? The investment costs.
A lot.
I always joke that VSTS is everything that you know and love about TFS with none of the maintenance. Eventually, I won't be able to say that because the biggest part of maintenance was backing up the database and making sure that was well and scaling it out as your teams got larger.
Yep.
And now you're taking the hardest part of TFS and taking that away from us.
Completely, yeah. And,
awesome.
And even in the future. So it's just to show, like, we're going to have continuous investment on kind of the TFS infrastructure, like that on-premise, and we want to make, you know, if you're using VSTS, we take care of everything for you.
Sure.
But if you have a team and you want to actually run it, we also want to make that super, super straightforward and easy.
Awesome.
You know, so you don't have to have someone else manage it. Maybe your own dev team, you know, can actually do that in a seamless manner. So going back to extensibility then. So we have over, I think, you know, we counted them last night. So it was 682 extensions. We did a partner breakfast actually today with all the partners of ESCS. So that was pretty exciting. And it's incredible to see, you know, to watch us go from zero in Connect 2015 to 2.5 years later and have so many great extensions in the marketplace from a variety of partners, and, you know, including Amazon and, you know, Octopus and a bunch of other people that were kind of friend and, you know, friend compete with them on that. But, you know, we still find a way to have that actual interoperability between us.
Absolutely.
So then what is extensible in VSTS? Pretty much everything. So we have, I think, over 100 contribution points inside of the web.
Wow.
So you think about dashboards, work items, think about the release management and build. In fact, 400 of the extensions that we have today in the marketplace, around 459 actually, now that my brain is working better on that, are build and release. So
I
like
bet.
The ecosystem there is just super strong, super healthy. And I pay attention to all of the stats and see all of the downloads and stuff. We get upwards of 20,000 downloads a month.
Wow.
Of the different extensions. So that's incredible. And that number has been growing, you know, in a very healthy rate every single time I look at it. So from dashboards to work item tracking to version control, we don't have many version control extensions, but the extensibility points are there. And, you know, to build and release, that's the majority of kind of the meat of it. All the way to settings, believe it or not. You know, there's people that actually do a bunch of little things to speed up, you know, maybe the management of a set of things.
Okay.
So they run their own custom extensions to do that. And then some either productivity tools to how to actually create release notes automatically. So we have some extensions that do that for you. And, you know, one of the things that I love, you know, we had a wiki extension at one point in the marketplace, and we ended up saying, you know, we love this, so we took that in-house, and then we released it as a full-fledged product. So, you know, even at times, it serves like an innovation bed for what the team should be investing on as well. So really super excited about that. In fact, we're going to continue to double down on our ecosystem, so you'll see more announcements on that to make it super straightforward for you to, you know, get an extension installed and have the right people use it, and as well as adding more contribution points and make it easier for apps to kind of get the right permissions and all of those type of things. So it's just a lot more seamless to get your work done with partner tools.
Got it.
Now, you know, I'll give you one simple example.
Sure.
Like today, we kind of lack SSO with a set of partners that have really good solutions. So we're trying to invest a little bit more into like, hey, if you sign up for VSTS and you install that extension, you automatically kind of get SSO with some, you know, with a set of these partners. So again, it's making it super seamless. Once you actually bring both of them together, how can you make it better together? So 1 + 1 = 3,
right,
just not 2.
Well, so when, as a vendor or as a partner, why would I invest in the marketplace? Is there a monetary aspect to this? Is there a way that I can make money as an extension author? Or am I just doing this because I want to give back to charity, I want to give back to the community? Is there another
A lot of people actually do it in a way that is to give back to the community, which we're really happy. Even if you think about VS Code and Visual Studio, a lot of the extensions that they have, and they have thousands upon thousands, are really about open source and community. So we value that a lot. But yes, you know, there's a set of people that actually run a business and sell tools that VSTS don't have, and they want to make sure that those people can have a successful business. So we support today paid extensions.
Okay.
So people can do that. There's a process for you to actually get your extension to be paid, but that support is there. Again, there's a lot more that we could do in there, and borrow more from what the industry is doing. But today we support it, and we have a set of customers that, a set of partners that essentially their livelihood as a company is out of that revenue.
And I think it's really useful for customers because they get just one bill for their DevOps services. If they're using some VSTS extensions, they just have to pay for it once through their Azure subscription.
So, okay, great. Yeah. So as a consumer, I'm not paying partner A for their extension, partner B for their extension, and then paying for VSTS. I'm paying one bill, and all that's taken care of for me automatically. Oh, very nice. So I want to go back to mobile here for a second, because you had introduced yourself as the founder of HockeyApp, which is true, but then we had Xamarin come in, and now we have this thing called App Center. Are we always going to have this Xamarin name and the HockeyApp name and the App Center name, or are they going to coalesce into one thing that we're going to call App Center in the future, or are we always going to have the individual pieces?
Great question. So we actually are halfway through this transition. So if you read the news in the last couple of weeks, Xamarin Test Cloud, which was the device cloud from Xamarin, shut down at the end of March. Or shut down is really the wrong term. It merged into App Center.
Okay.
So you can no longer go to testcloud.xamarin.com.
Okay.
You will get a redirect to App Center, and we have the same features, actually more features than Test Cloud had.
Okay.
And all your data seamlessly transferred from Test Cloud into App Center. So your App Center account now shows all your demos from all the last 2 years or 3 years that you showed in Test Cloud. Similarly, we did the same for Xamarin Insights. So those two Xamarin products are actually migrated now into App Center.
Okay.
So now the big transition is the HockeyApp transition. So this will happen over the next year or 2 years. We'll see about that. We're currently working eagerly on adding more features to App Center to bring them up to par.
Okay.
And then we will have a very seamless transition for HockeyApp customers. I don't know if you know that, but HockeyApp, you can use your HockeyApp account to sign into App Center and vice versa. They're the same thing. And even if you sign up for App Center today, we create a HockeyApp account for you, and all your HockeyApp apps are visible in App Center. Your crash reports are flowing into App Center. So we will enable a very seamless transition, and one day we just snip, and then HockeyApp will be gone, and App Center will be the future all mobile DevOps for Microsoft.
All right, perfect. So I'm going to come back to Lori. So we're kind of going round and around here.
Round table.
Right, so what I want to talk about is things that we can start planning for in the future. What is on the roadmap? Because from what I understand, the way that we do planning on the VSTS team is you have an 18-month scenario, I believe it is, and you break it down into 6-month seasons. Can you share any of the seasons or the scenarios that
we
really
might be thinking
about?
You're really digging for stuff here.
I am. I'm actually asking questions that I'm interested in knowing the answers to.
You want to know the answer. Yeah, that's great. No, I think you've seen some of what we're doing here. I think that clearly CI/CD is very important to people today, and you've seen us today talk about our container support that we have in Azure. Well, you demoed the, why am I telling you this, AKS DevOps, Azure DevOps project support. What we want to do is make sure it's super easy to get started end-to-end with a great DevOps pipeline. When you first get started on Azure, make that really smooth and seamless. And then we want to keep innovating in modern practices that you're using with Azure, both in terms of all the different resources that are available in your CI/CD pipeline, but also how you can get great insights from production telemetry and whatnot. We talked a little bit about green lighting, where you can tell, you can set a release gate and have it be gated on some telemetry results. Well, there's much more that we can be doing in that area around blue-green deployments and canary-level deployments and exposure and all that. So we want to keep pushing the envelope on that and make Azure just a really great place to get started, but a release pipeline that supports modern development practices anywhere.
Great.
Yeah, go ahead.
And a lot of customers that are new to DevOps feel that it's time to pat themselves on the back once they've deployed into production. And to me, that's not the end of the road for you, right? The end of the road is when you learn from what's happening in production. You take the data, the metrics, the telemetry, and you actually fold that back into your actual product backlog. Too many people make the assumption that your product owner knows what's important and what's not important, and they go and they do the first item, they push it into production, and they don't monitor it. And they just assume that they delivered value. But if no one accesses that new page, no one accesses that new feature, you didn't deliver value. And you don't know that, so you just blindly follow this priority list. Are there going to be any investments in VSTS that are going to allow us to somehow take that telemetry that we're collecting, that information, and fold it back into and help us prioritize our product backlog?
Well, now you're starting to ask me very specific questions about what we're doing in VSTS, and I'd say we're not ready to announce anything new, specific features, but I will say that rounding out the DevOps lifecycle, and we know there's several opportunities in these sort of what I'll call ops integrations are going to be really valuable for people. I think the other key area of investment that you'll be seeing is acquiring VSTS. And that when you're saying earlier, how can I incrementally adopt pieces of VSTS and how can I know better what you were trying to adopt and give you a better, smoother experience as you're getting started with DevOps or getting started using just a piece of VSTS. And so you'll see a lot of investments there as well coming.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. So Mario and Thomas, actually this is open for everyone. We're about to run out of time here, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity. If there's anything that I haven't asked you or something that you'd like to highlight about the area that you specialize in on DevOps all up, and again, it doesn't have to be specific to Azure, but helping our customers on this transformation, because they're all on it. The most popular talk I give around the world is how Microsoft does DevOps. Everyone is curious because they're all on this transformation, and I'm kind of curious for some little anecdotes or some stories that might help our customers just have a sigh of relief, because what they love to hear is that we failed at one point, because they think it's okay now for them to fail. And I was just curious in the last few minutes here, do you have any anecdotes or any advice for people who are on this transformation as well?
Well, I would say, I wasn't sure if he was asking you or me.
I'm asking all of you. Okay. I'm asking all of you.
I would say it's a journey of failure, you know? Like, I feel, when I tell that story, it's like, well, we started with Agile and we fell into the Scrummerfall trap. And, and then we got ourselves out of that and then we realized, oh, how do we do great code integration and moving to Git and then automating our pipeline and then realizing we had this test debt. You know, it just seemed like, wow, over and over we kept finding what's the next big problem to solve. And so, it just gets better and better, but it's just a journey of continuous improvement and be patient. And I wish I had other people telling their stories when we were going through it, or maybe I should have been listening more. We could have avoided a few.
Yeah, what's interesting is that, go ahead.
Well, you know, you always ask me for yet another feature, right?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why it's not integrated into VSTS? And all the customers do kind of like the same with us, right? They say, why don't you support GitLab? Or why don't you, you know, add this feature? And the challenge really for us as Microsoft is that we have to pick the right features, right? And DevOps enables us to iterate really quickly, right? To ship features faster every day, every minute, maybe every hour, we do a deploy of a new feature. But the hard part really for PM is, right, we have to pick the right one, the next one. And so really, we need to stay focused. Like rolling out DevOps just doesn't solve all your problems. You still have to have focus of what's the value, what brings the most value to your customers.
And it goes back to what I just mentioned a second ago. It's not over just by pushing out a new feature. Yeah. It's actually monitoring it and getting that telemetry. And that telemetry might not necessarily be a slow response time or some custom. It could be a user voice ticket, right? It could be a Twitter
application
question. Exactly. It could be that you can get that data from anywhere, but you need to be able to analyze that data and then determine was that a valuable investment of our time or not, which is really important. Yeah. Another thing that you said that I really liked, and I say this a lot to people, is that you have to focus on what hurts most first.
Yeah.
And as you focused on that, something else became the bottleneck. Oh my God, we have this test debt now, which wasn't even an issue at first.
Not right?
You didn't even realize it because so many other things in your pipeline were so slow that this was not slow in comparison. But after you solve that problem, after you get automation in place, after you solve it, you realize, oh my gosh, this is now what's slowing us down the most. And I tell a lot of our customers this, do not try to tackle everything at once.
Yep.
Just go focus on what hurts the most, and your next bottleneck will reveal itself. Trust me. You will realize that that is what hurts most now, and let's go focus on that and take it one step at a time. Trying to do too much too fast is a recipe for disaster. You're going to get frustrated, you're going to fail, and you're going to instantly start doing it the way that you did it before.
Yep.
So I love to hear that. We did the exact same thing. Yeah. We started, we failed, we rinsed and repeated, and now 7 years later, we release every 3 weeks when we used to release every 3 years.
And we're still improving.
I tell everyone that same thing. I said, this is just where we are today,
we're
going to move as fast as we possibly can. Yeah. Well, we're out of time, and I want to thank you all so much for being guests on the show, and I hope you continue to enjoy Build 2018. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.